Good morning. Thank you, Lynn. Can everyone hear me? Or can anyone hear me?
Yay, good.
Okay, very good. Welcome to Awakening Together's Sunday morning worship service. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. This is our Sunday gathering. I am so thrilled to be here. Good morning, kid. So thrilled to be here with you guys this morning. And I'm going to ask Lynn to come back and play our opening song while we all take this opportunity to greet one another.
To the calling of the mystic in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. We are awakening to a long forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here, standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love. Chidananda, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Satchidananda. Oh,
And turn the mic back over to you, Jacqueline. You play that song if you want to hear the rest of it. I will do that. So I'm going to put it back on. All right, Jacqueline, can you pick the mic up?
Okay, can you hear me now? Okay, wonderful. I'm on my old phone while my computer reboots. It locked up tight. So we'll see how this goes. Oh, shoot. Okay. So let's look. Let's start by looking at our. yeah. It's not a Verizon phone. Let's start by looking at our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And we traditionally look at our core values, and the minister generally will pick a core value that best represents the message for the day. And let's look at core value number 3 and number 5. Number 3, we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And we accept all forms as temporary appearances, permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. And thank you, Barb, for posting the link and the core values. Okay, so let's look at announcements. I want to start by thanking everyone who sent letters for us to include in our mailing to the IRS. We forwarded 43 heartfelt letters to the IRS. They are somewhat concerned that, they think that maybe we're not a church because we don't meet in a physical building. But, in fact, we have sent the IRS several documents that we're strong, close, like-minded spiritual community, and very important to our response to the IRS were the letters that you guys sent, and it was a real pleasure to see those letters in preparation for that response, and I'm honored to be doing this work, and I'm really thrilled to be doing it at this level, so I can just feel you guys through your letters. So thank you much for sending those letters in. If you'd like to learn more about the process of applying for church status, come to our quarterly member meeting on Sunday, September the 13th at 8 p.m. That's the second Sunday in September. And Regina will talk more about the church status process at that time. Okay, tonight, Tony Ponicello will be here in the sanctuary at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Reverend Tony is co-founder of the Community Miracles Center, located in San Francisco, California. He's a course teacher, a counselor, and an author, and a driving force behind the organization and management of the annual ACIM conference. While he's sometimes considered outspoken and controversial, Reverend Tony is loved and highly respected, especially for his longtime dedication to ACIM and for his community building work. Again, he'll be here tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay. And don't forget, folks, about our fall retreat. We have three retreats actually coming up. This fall, the first is A Week in Being with Jan Frazier. That's Friday, October the 30th through Sunday, November the 1st. We have A Week Within with Regina, Sunday, November the 1st through Friday, November the 6th. And A Week in Beyond with Bentinho Massaro. And that is that following weekend. I see I've cut this off on my notes, but that's going to be Friday, November the 6th through, I guess that's Sunday, November the 8th. We still have plenty of spots left for A Weekend Being with Jan Frazier, and surprisingly, plenty of spots still left for A Weekend Beyond with Bentinho. Our Week Within with Regina Dawn Akers is pretty full. I think if you wanted to get in for that one and you snuck your registration in right away, that you would you'd make it in there. We are we're finalizing the room assignments with the Franciscan Retreat Center where the retreat will be held, and we can probably fit you in if you register immediately for Regina's week, but we are filling up. Oh, okay, and I don't know what the deadline is for registering. Let me see. I don't know that I have that in front of me. Regina's in the room. If you're around, Regina, and you want to, let me see. I do not see the deadline in front of me. Anybody know? Okay. Well, you can, Barb has posted the link in the room. You can go to that link to register, and we haven't hit the deadline yet, but there is indeed a deadline for registering. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's in Colorado Springs. You do get a discount for registering for all three events, and even if we were to fill up, there are still spots available in terms of if you want to stay at a nearby hotel and be a commuter. So please consider registering for the events. I'm really excited about it, and it is right around the corner. Okay. All right. Let me see where we are in our order of service. Are you guys still hearing me? Just making sure with the issues I've had this morning.
Okay, very good. And let's see. It's now time for an opening song. So, Lynn, if you will take the mic, and while you're playing that song, I'm going to attempt to log off on the phone and get back on the computer. So, all right, I'll turn it back over. Lovely, lovely song. Thank you, Lynn. I am back on the computer. You can, guys can hear me, I assume, I hope. Very good. Again, thank you, Lynn, for playing that wonderful music. You know, Lynn works so hard, and then I call her up at the last minute, and she is thrilled to do the music. And she picks it out to match the topic. I'm very grateful. Thank you so much, Lynn. Okay, and at this point, we will have our invocation and take a moment of silence and have a prayer. And Holy Spirit, this morning we join together in gratitude and humility. I'm grateful to be here. I know we're all grateful to be joined together in this endeavor. We come in humility. We leave the personal self behind so that we can join together in the true self that is the oneness of all that is. Amen. Okay. And now we're going to have a reading by Stephanie. And Stephanie, when you get on, it's Bacarizo, I think. I know, I just butchered your name. But Stephanie, if you could tell us the right pronouncement, pronunciation, if you like, when you read for us. And thank you so much for Stephanie for agreeing to read this morning. Stephanie is reading the lessons of the Holy Spirit from chapter 6. Section 5 of A Course in Miracles. And I'll let go of the mic so Stephanie can read it that for us. I will say before I go that when I originally asked Stephanie to read this, she said great. She was all on board. And then I think we both looked at it, and it was some 30 paragraphs. So I have asked Stephanie, I picked out excerpts from that reading, and Stephanie is going to read those excerpts from that section. The lessons of the Holy Spirit for us. Okay, I'll let go of the mic. Thanks, Steph.
Can you hear me? Okay. Chapter 6, Section 5, The Lessons of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who leads to God, translates communication into being, just as He ultimately translates perception into knowledge. You do not lose what you communicate. The ego uses the body for attack, for pleasure, and for pride. The insanity of this perception makes it a fearful one indeed. The Holy Spirit sees the body only as a means of communication, and because communicating is sharing, it becomes communion. Egos do join together in temporary alliance, but always for what each one can get separately. The Holy Spirit communicates only what each one can give to all. He never takes anything back, because He wants you to keep it. Therefore, His teachings begins with the lesson, to have, give all to all. This is a very preliminary step, and the only one you must take for yourself. It is not even necessary that you complete the step yourself, but it is necessary that you turn in that direction. Having chosen to go that way, you place yourself in charge of the journey, where you and only you must remain. This step may appear to exacerbate conflict rather than resolve it, because it is the beginning step in reversing your perception and turning it right side up. This conflict with the upside down perception you have not yet abandoned, or the change in direction would not have been necessary. Some remain at this step for a long time, experiencing very acute conflict. At this point, they may try to accept the conflict rather than take the next step towards its resolution. Having taken the first step, however, they will be helped once they have chosen what they cannot complete alone. They are no longer alone. B. To have peace, they teach to learn it. 1. All who believe in separation have a basic fear of retaliation and abandonment. They believe in attack and rejection, so that is what they perceive and teach and learn. These insane ideas are clearly the result of dissociation and projection. What you teach, you are, but it is quite apparent that you can teach wrongly and can therefore teach yourself wrong. 2. All good teachers realize that only fundamental change will last, but they do not begin at that level. A strengthening motivation for change is their first and foremost goal. It is also their last and final one. Increasing motivation for change in the learner is all that a teacher needs to guarantee change. Change is motivation, is a change of mind. Change in motivation is a change of mind. And this will inevitably produce fundamental change because the mind is fundamental. 3. The first step in the reversal or undoing process is the undoing of the getting concept. Accordingly, the Holy Spirit's first lesson was to have, give all to all. I said that this is apt to increase conflict temporarily, and we can clarify this still further now. At this point, the equality of having and being is not yet perceived. Until it is, having appears to be the opposite of giving. Therefore, the first lesson seems to contain a contradiction since it is being learned by a conflicted mind. This means conflicting motivation, and so the lesson cannot be learned constantly as yet. 7. You are not asked to make insane decisions, although you can think you are. It must, however, be insane to believe that it is up to you to decide what God's creations are. The Holy Spirit perceives the conflict exactly as it is. Therefore, his second lesson is to have peace, teach peace, to learn it. 8. This is a preliminary step, since having and being are still not equated. It is, however, more advanced than the first step, which is really only the beginning of the thought reversal. The second step is a positive affirmation of what you want. This, then, is a step in the direction out of conflict, since it means that alternatives have been considered and one has been chosen as more desirable. 9. The second step, then, is still perceptual, although it is a giant step towards the unified perception that reflects God's knowing. As you take this step and hold this direction, you will be pushing towards the center of your thought system, where the fundamental change will occur. At the second step, progress is intermittent, but the second step is easier than the first because it follows. Realizing that it must follow is a demonstration of a growing awareness that the Holy Spirit will lead you on. C. Be vigilant only for God and His kingdom. The Holy Spirit does not teach you to judge others, because He does not want you to teach error and learn it yourself. He would hardly be consistent if He allowed you to strengthen what you must learn to avoid. In the mind of the thinker, then, He is judgmental, but only in order to unify the mind so it can perceive without judgment. This enables the mind to teach without judgment, and therefore to learn to be without judgment. The undoing is necessary only in your mind so that you will not project falsely. God Himself has established what you can project with perfect safety. Therefore, the Holy Spirit's third lesson is, be vigilant only for the kingdom, only for God and His kingdom. This is a major step towards fundamental change. Yet, it still has an aspect of thought reversal, since it implies that there is something you must be vigilant against. It has advanced far from the first lesson, which is merely the beginning of the thought reversal, and also from the second, which is essentially the identification of what is more desirable. This step, which follows from the second, as the second follows from the first, emphasizes the dichotomy between the desirable and the undesirable. It therefore makes the ultimate ultimate change inevitable. While the first step seems to increase conflict and the second may still entail conflict to some extent, this step calls for consistent vigilance against it. I have already told you that you can be as vigilant against the ego as for it. This lesson teaches not only that you can be, but that you must be. It does not concern itself with order of difficulty, but with clear-cut priority for vigilance. This lesson is unequivocal in that it teaches there must be no exceptions, although it does not deny that the temptation to make exceptions will occur. Here, then, your consistency is called on despite chaos. Yet chaos and consistency cannot coexist for long, since they are mutually exclusive. As long as you must be vigilant against anything, however, you are not recognizing this mutual exclusiveness and still believe that you can choose either one. By teaching what to choose, the Holy Spirit will ultimately teach you that you need not choose at all. This will finally liberate your mind from choice and direct it toward creation within the kingdom. Choosing through the Holy Spirit will lead you to the kingdom. You create by what you are, but this is what you must learn to remember. The way to remember, it is inherent in the third step, which brings together the lessons implied in the others and goes beyond them towards real integration. If you allow yourself to have in your mind only what God put there, you are acknowledging your mind as God created it. Therefore, you are accepting it as it is. Since it is whole, you are teaching peace because you believe in it. The final step will still be taken for you by God. But by the third step, the Holy Spirit has prepared you for God. He's getting you ready for the translation of having into being by the very nature of the steps you must take with Him. You learn first that having rests on giving and not on getting. Next you learn what you teach and that you want to learn peace. This is a condition for identifying with the kingdom, since it is a condition of the kingdom. You have believed that you are without the kingdom and have therefore excluded yourself from it in your belief. It is therefore essential to teach you that you must be included, and that the belief that you are not is the only thing that you must exclude. To teach the whole sonship without exception, demonstrate that you perceive its wholeness and have learned that it is one. Now you must be vigilant to hold its oneness in your mind, because if you let doubt enter, you will lose awareness of its wholeness and will be unable to teach it. The wholeness of the kingdom does not depend on your perception, but your awareness of it, of its wholeness does. You have exerted great effort to preserve what you made because it was not true. Therefore, you must now turn your efforts against it. Only this can cancel out the need for effort and call upon the being which you both have and are. This recognition is wholly without effort, since it is already true and needs no protection. It is in the perfect safety of God. Therefore, inclusion is total and creation is without limit.
Thank you, Stephanie. Yeah, that was great. I just feel so empowered when I read that. You know, it's just so cool that in these few pages, Jesus has set out in A Course in Miracles the entire curriculum, with instructions from how to get from here to there. As was summarized at one point in the reading, the lessons. And let's look at those again. I'm sorry, my notes are a little spread out this morning. I'm doing this I'm doing this a little bit differently than I normally do. Normally I write things out and all that, and I'm really trying to be teach from inspiration this morning. But the three lessons, to have, give all to all, to have peace, to have peace, teach peace to learn it, and be vigilant only for God and His kingdom. And again, the summary that was given in the reading, the first lesson teaches having rest on giving, not on getting. The second lesson, teaches that you want peace. And the third, to teach without exception, so shows that you perceive the wholeness. Okay. So what we want to look at here first are some are the fundamentals that we need in order to understand the lessons that Holy Spirit is teaching in this condensed syllabus here. First of all, everybody teaches all the time. You must teach something. And we, as teachers of God, have been chosen to teach the atonement. We have been chosen to teach at-one-ment. As we teach, this is what we learn. Therefore, we're called to teach our perfect immunity. We're called to teach only love, because that's what we are. But in order to learn that's what we are, we have to teach it. In order to teach only love, the Course suggests that we begin with gratitude. We begin with gratitude because, as the Course says, you cannot love what you do not appreciate. What a sweet step. What a simple step. Begin with gratitude. You know, and this is why the Course tells us we should be grateful to our brothers. We're grateful to our brothers because they give us the opportunity to teach what we would learn. We're not grateful to, you know, your brother's not your savior because he reminds you, you know, I've heard people say that, oh, he's my savior. He reminds me, you know, how I sometimes get messed up in my thinking. He's your savior. Because your brother, if he appears to be acting insanely, if he appears to be attacking you, if he appears to be whatever, right, acting in whatever way that you would not have him act, this gives you an opportunity to teach what you would learn. This is why you owe gratitude to your brother. And you owe gratitude to everything else for the perfection of what it is. So let's start with gratitude, so that we can teach that we are only love. Okay, so these lessons from the Holy Spirit are about changing your habits. They're changing your thought patterns. You know, we live in our minds, and we work off of these habit energies, off of these beliefs that we are separate beings. I got to get mine before you get yours. I encompass this small space here, you know, encompassed by my body. And I have these needs, you have those needs, and I need to get mine fulfilled before you get yours. I mean, this is habit. This is the way the world works based on the premise of separation. So we work from this habit energy. And what these lessons from the Holy Spirit are designed to do are to teach you to change your habits. Change your habits so you can change your mind. So again, let's look at some of the fundamentals. A Course in Miracles teaches that both ego and Holy Spirit use projection. Ego uses projection to project what it perceives in itself that it doesn't want. It projects that onto others. Because ego believes fundamentally that to get rid of something, you give it away. And the reality is, and what Holy Spirit teaches is, to, that's how you keep it. If you want to keep something, you give it away. That's how you strengthen it. Right? And so it's really interesting because for ego, it's more like a physical thing. So if I have something in my hands and I want to get rid of it, I hand that thing to you, I no longer have it. Holy Spirit knows that we're more like thoughts. So if you want to strengthen a thought, what do? You give it away. You teach it. It strengthens it in you by conviction. This is who we are. So if you want to strengthen something, give it away. And this is fundamental to the, that's right, everything I give away I keep. This is fundamental to the lessons that Holy Spirit's teaching. Let me see. Okay. So Holy Spirit is teaching us to teach our wholeness. Holy Spirit allows us to experience that wholeness now by teaching it. And we do this by projecting our wholeness onto everyone and everything, by seeing it everywhere. As you do that, as you project your wholeness onto others, onto everything, as you see your wholeness in others, in everything, because you're doing this, you are experiencing the truth. And what this will do is result in joy in your life. As you learn to give, you will experience joy in your life. And you know, I have been working for quite some time with the idea of expansion as opposed to contraction. I've practiced it myself, and I teach some classes here locally, and I recommend this exercise to my students. And I'm sure it's something that I picked up in the MPP program. Nonetheless, I teach to practice expansion so that when you're contemplating any course of action, you can either feel expansive or contractive. If somebody asks you for something, you're going to go, the habit energy, the ego energy may be to go, ooh, they're asking me for that, and if I give them that, then I won't have it, and oh gosh, I don't know, you know, that's that self-centered me, what's in it for me that ego does, and you can feel this contraction within yourself. You know, I feel it physically. After much practice, I feel it physically in my solar plexus. This, ooh, contraction. They want something. I don't want to give it. If I give it, I won't have it, right? So what I've been practicing, what I've been teaching is to do the opposite of that, which is to act expansively, to give. When I feel that contraction, my automatic reaction needs to be to be expansive. So when I feel the contraction, somebody asks me for my car keys, ooh, what if they wreck my car? You know what? I'm going to hand over my car keys. Why? Because I'm doing what Holy Spirit has asked me to do in this first lesson, to have, give all to all. That's how I learn. That's how I learn to reverse the ego process. And that's what, you know, that's the cool thing about this first lesson. That is what Holy Spirit is teaching us to do. He says that very, very clearly in this section of the course. To have, give all to all. It's a reversal of the ego's thought process. And it's this practice that we need to practice over and over and over again, reversing the ego thought system. Turning ego's thought system on its head. Ego thinks. To have, I've got to keep. I've got to keep it away from everybody else. I've got to get. It's a reversal of that idea. So we learn, rather, to have, we give away. And if, sorry, I got distracted by the board. If you give it away, whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is,
if you give it away, what you end up giving away is joy. Because let me assure you, that is what you get. When you give, you get joy. It doesn't matter what it is. It's the most amazing thing. And that's the expansion that I'm looking for. That's the expansion that I'm looking for in my everyday life. When I feel that contraction, I am going to give instead so that I can experience that joy in my life. Indeed, in A Course in Miracles, it says, your salvation lies in teaching the exact opposite of everything ego believes. So that's what this first step is. We're retraining our minds. Holy Spirit says that that's, Jesus says that that's a preliminary step. The only step is, he says, you must take, but he's talking about this personal self, because the personal self, you know, who's contemplating, okay, I'm embarking on this lesson plan. So, you know, I'm used to, worrying about what I get and how I get it and what I need to do to get it. And I'm called on to step out in faith, to step out beyond my experience. And to take this initial step of learning to give. Give and give and give and give. You know, and you've always heard the phrase, give until it hurts. Well, the irony there is it never hurts. It never hurts. It always brings joy. Ego expects when it gives, it expects to do without. It expects sacrifice, and what you find instead is joy, peace, release. You find the release of your sense of self, and you become lighter. You find freedom. So once we've done this first step, okay, so we're learning, and again, practice, but we're learning to give instead of get. And, sorry, again, I got distracted. So the second step then, to have peace, teach peace, to learn it. So once we've learned to do this, then once we've learned to give, then we learn what it is we want to give. What is it then we want to give? Now that we've learned that we can, that we expand whatever it is we give, what is it we want to give? Well, we find that what we want to give is peace. Ego, conflict, confusion, separation. What do we want to give? We want to give peace. We want to give peace always. We want to give peace consistently. The Course talks about all the separated ones. That's us. That's us folks living here on this planet. All of us have a fear of retaliation and abandonment, and that's because we believe in attack and rejection. So that's what we have consistently practiced. That's what we have consistently taught. And because that's what we've consistently believed in and thus taught, that's what we've consistently learned. So what we need to be teaching instead to our brothers, regardless of what we think we're getting from our brothers, who are really just us, regardless of what we think we're getting, what we need to teach is peace. If you want to experience teach, or peach, if you want to experience peace, you must teach it. And it's beautiful too, because ACIM says that the second step, teach peace to learn it, will take you to the very center of your thought system, where the fundamental change will occur. If that's your goal, if that's your beacon, if you're holding peace up in front of you all the time, if somebody seems to be giving you crap, right, or whatever it is, somebody seems to be ungrateful, whatever it is that you think that you're perceiving, teach peace. You don't want to turn to them and, you know, it's Jesus talking about taking the log out of your eye so you can take the speck out of your brother's eyes, right? You're not going to want to try and teach them, oh, where they're going wrong, where they're exercising this judgment, where they're doing things. No. Is that what you want to teach your brother? No. What do you want to teach? You want to teach peace. And the thing about it is, it's not teaching your brother. If you're trying to correct your brother, you're going to be teaching what they're, quote unquote, doing wrong. That's what you're going to be focusing on. That's what you're going to be teaching. What you want to be teaching, you're teaching yourself. Remember, always, you're teaching yourself. What do you want to teach? Perfection, wholeness, peace. I want peace. I want peace. I want peace. And I want all of this in front of me, and that's what I want to teach. So that whatever I seem to be getting from you, I will be teaching peace. I will be saying, what is this person saying? Oh, they're saying, love me, love me, love me, teach me peace. And that's what I'll be teaching. And then the third step is a critical step. The third step says, be vigilant only for God and His kingdom. This is really easy. This means make no exceptions. And we do it all the time. We're like, oh, you know, I know what the Course teaches, but this guy's a real jerk. Nobody could be peaceful and loving towards this guy. Or, you know, I'm in a hurry today, and I know that I'm supposed to be at peace, but daggone it, I got to be at this meeting, or I'm going to lose my job. Or, you know, whatever it is. Exception after exception after exception. We do it all the time. Yeah, it really is black and white. We do it all the time. We make exceptions. You can't make exceptions to wholeness. If you believe in wholeness, wholeness is what you teach all of the time. The exception, you know, you've heard the phrase, the devil's in the details, right? Well, it is. The devil is in the details. Because if you make exceptions, then you believe there are exceptions to be made. You believe that you're teaching yourself that there are exceptions to wholeness. You know, you're gonna fall through those cracks yourself. Teach this consistently. Teach love consistently. Teach peace consistently. Give, give, give. As you give, you'll find your joy. As you give without exception. And you will, Jesus tells you in the Course, you will be tempted to make exceptions. There's no question. You will be tempted to make exceptions. You have to look that temptation square in the face and say, I'm not going to do it. You know, this is why me in particular, have studied this Course for 30 years, 40 years, however long it's been. Okay, 30. Exceptions, exceptions, exceptions. There's no room for exceptions anymore. I want to teach peace. I want to teach wholeness. I want to teach it fully and wholly because that's what I want to learn. I want to learn who I am. And in order to do that, I have to be consistent in the lessons that I teach. So remember, the first lesson shows us having rests on giving, not on getting. The second lesson of the Holy Spirit teaches us that we want peace. In order to learn peace, we have to teach it. And the third lesson says, for your sake, for my sake, for atonement's sake, don't make any exceptions. We don't have room. We don't have time for exceptions. Yeah. It's 11:11. Yay. Well, folks, I think that I have said it all. Seemed like it went by quickly. I'm I'm thrilled and honored to be here with you guys, and just really excited about this, about how clear these lessons are coming through. And I'm thrilled to practice them without exception. Okay. So to be a happy learner. All right. So I'm going to give up the mic, and we'll have a moment of while Lynn plays us another song for meditation and contemplation. And remember during this time that Barb Durwater, our sanctuary administrator, will be posting the donation link, and we do run this thing on donations, so please feel free to give at this time. And I love you guys, and I'll let go of the mic now. Beautiful song. Thank you, Lynn. Barb, I don't see the donate link. If you put that up, could you put that up again? Because I missed it. Thank you. Yeah, there's the donate link. Thank you. Okay, guys, this is the part of the service where you get to say what you think. Good for you, Barb. Yeah, it's a beautiful song. But let's hear from you guys, and let's hear about what you thought about what was said this morning, or what your experiences have been in this area, or whatever's on your heart. Okay, Regina, please take the mic.
Hi, Jacqueline. First of all, I think it's great that you usually wrote everything out, but I think it's great that, so thank you very much for doing that. Also, when you were talking, I just wanted to share one of the things that came to my mind when you were talking about, you know, giving, you know, like if somebody was to ask me for something and I think, oh, no, I can't give that, you know, because then I won't have it. I think that what a lot of us don't understand is that in that thought process, I actually am giving. And what I'm giving into the universe is the belief in lack. And again, like Holy Spirit says, you know, which means I'm keeping that belief in lack. So like you said, the ego, I'm believing, I'm actually sharing whatever I am believing, sharing all of the time, whether we appear physically to be sharing or not sharing. We're always sharing. We can't help but share. It's the nature of what we are. And so by the appearance of not giving, I am giving, but I'm probably giving exactly what I don't want to give. Like most of us really do not want to keep the idea of lack. That's something most of us would really like to be free of. It's something that we suffer from. If we believe in lack, we suffer from it. And so to notice when we are believing that idea of lack and then choosing to do what you talked about, the opposite of that. You used the example of constriction. Whenever you feel yourself constrict, you do the opposite. Well, if I do the same thing, only my way of looking at it was a little different. I looked at it as, oh, here I'm not giving because of a belief in lack. Do I want to keep the belief in lack? No. Therefore, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to give. So the same teaching, just kind of a different, you could call it logical method of practicing. But yeah, anything that I am believing from, therefore anything I'm acting from, or withholding from acting from because I believe it, that's what I'm giving. And I need to question myself, do I want to give and therefore keep the belief in lack? Do I want to give and therefore keep judgment? Do I want to give and therefore keep the belief in guilt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And yeah, as Nancy is saying, everyone is teaching all of the time. Thank you very much, Jacqueline. Great job.
Yeah, thank you, Regina. And, you know, it's just so cool with this practice that I talked about. It's like, I see Dove has his hand up too, but let me, what's so cool about this practice that I'm talking about is that if you get into the practice, you figure out the joy that comes from giving. And then it becomes automatic to give. So, it is coming at it from a little different perspective. So for me, the doing of it taught me the value of it. So that's all I have to say. And Dove, please take the mic.
All right. Thank you so much, Jacqueline. I always love the three lessons of the Holy Spirit because I always say, you know, Holy Spirit doesn't have 365 lessons or 36 or 13, only three. And the first one, he says, the first one reverses all the laws of this world, which is to have, give all to all. And, of course, you know, we don't really give all to all because out of our own judgments, our own biases, prejudice, specialness, et cetera, we always seem to not give all to all. What I wanted to share on is a real demonstration of to have peace, teach peace, to learn. It came up for me the other day. It wasn't me that was demonstrating it. It was the head of another group on Facebook, actually. I mentioned his name. There's no reason why not. His name is Chandra Gandra. He runs a group called Ramana, Nisargadatta, and Robert. Of course, he's talking about Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta, and Robert Adams. And he runs that group. And he sent me a private message the other day in which he said, you know, somebody on your Facebook group, Open Minds, is taking, copying stuff from one of my other groups and posting it on Open Minds and never mentioning giving credit or where it's from, etc., which of course, whenever I post anything, it's always giving credit to wherever the source was. And I was a little surprised to hear that, and I said, well, okay, I'll be glad to. He says, if you can do anything about it, can you do something about it? Can you mention that to the person? He said, I said, okay, I'm going to do that. And then something changed in the conversation. He says, never mind. Don't bother doing that at all. He says, listen, if the person doesn't understand, what difference does it make? What good does it do to tell the person this? He says, no, I'd rather you didn't do that. And I realized that he'd rather have the peace of mind, because you know, to send over, you know, you're doing this, and of course the person was doing it, but to remind the person they're doing this, you know, just keeps the lack of peace going, and he'd rather choose the peace. I just want to share that as a wonderful demonstration of to have peace, teach peace, to learn it. Thanks.
Yeah, that's great, Dove. Thank you for sharing that example. I was short on examples this morning, so my own personal experience in that. That's great. Thank you, Dove. Okay, anybody else want to share? We still have a little bit of time left, just a little bit of time. Okay, Lynn, take the mic.
All right. Thank you so much, Jacqueline. And yeah, beautiful, beautiful teaching and sharing this morning. And these lessons of the Holy Spirit honestly are the greatest practice. Because, yes, to have give all to all, you know, I thought that was, you know, I couldn't even imagine how to do that. And, you know, it took, I guess, just experience of knowing that that being open, having an open mind, having a desire to just join and without limit with, you know, whomever in whatever situation really is giving all to all. It's that desire to be with my brother in any way in which my brother needs me to be. And instead of me being in control of how it is that I decide to join with my brother and having it all be in my control, really, it's just giving up my control. That really is giving all to all, giving up my control and being with my brother in whatever way that he needs me to be. Is such a gift, because it gets you out of the way, it gets me out of the way, and it brings in the reality of our relationship. And then to have peace, teach peace, to learn it, man, that's been the hardest lesson for me, because I tend to be a very competitive kind of person. So teaching peace really is deciding that I don't have to have my way every time, and really I don't have to have my way ever at all, in fact. And so just allowing my brother to have his own peace and to feel safe and not to be afraid that I'm going to do anything to them to hurt them. You know, being, I call it being guileless, being, it isn't even innocence. It's, It is innocence, but it's not innocence like you would think of it. It's innocence in being not harmful. You know, first do no harm. So having peace really comes from being harmless and being guileless, having no agenda, not deciding that I need to make things be a certain way. Just letting things be at peace. Letting things be exactly as they are. That really is teaching peace. It's being not afraid, and it's being open and allowing. That teaches peace. And then the last one, of course, be vigilant only for God and His kingdom. That is the primary rule and law for anyone who is a spiritual seeker. If I'm not being vigilant only for God and His kingdom, then I'm going to be vigilant for the world, and I'm going to be looking at the world for my peace and for my security and for whatever it is that I think that I need. But if I'm being vigilant only for God and His kingdom, I am looking for God and His kingdom in everything, in everyone, in every experience. And looking for God and His kingdom in all experiences, that does bring about the peace of God. That does bring about the peace that I'm looking for. So those three lessons, really honestly, you don't need anything else. All the workbook lessons are teaching you those three lessons. Every single one of those workbook lessons is teaching you those three lessons. Every bit of the text is teaching you those three lessons. And all it is letting go and letting God and allowing the one who knows to be in charge. So thank you, Jacqueline. I really appreciate your sharing, and I'm really grateful for you. I love you, and I'll let go of the mic. I see Carrie has his hand up.
All right, guys. Am I on? Yeah, I've seen some good things today, you know, and it really is a matter of being still and just letting things be. You know, we're so conditioned, you know, to have an opinion and to be helpful. And to the ego, helpful is pointing out mistakes and, you know, doing it the right way. And you know, and there really isn't a right or a wrong way, but the mind makes it so. So a good practice is to not react. We're so conditioned to react that if you just sit still and do nothing, you know, it's some pretty advanced teaching, because everybody wants to be right, and being right is pointing out mistakes or you know, telling somebody that you don't think knows something what you think you know. You know, listening and being still, you know, that's the vigilance that I do, you know, is to just not interrupt or say anything and just let things be done. Don't, a lot of things, it's easy to get mad, and it's easy to find injustices, and it's easy to want to see things mistreated, whether it be you or someone else. And you watch TV and you can listen to people, and it's so easy. And what I find is if you just stop when you normally would rush in with an idea or keep your mind active on something that's happened, a situation, you know, that hasn't happened, that should have, or one that did, that shouldn't. Something either needs to happen that hasn't happened, or did happen that shouldn't have happened. And then that's what we kind of focus our minds on, and we just go around in circles over and over and over. You know, so come and you can listen to people and just let them talk without a reaction of any type. And it can be a lot stiller that way. Kind of going around in circles here, but I just thought I'd add that. You know, when you're talking about peace, and really, it's if you want to have peace, you just demonstrate that you're at peace, instead of saying, "Well, as soon as I get retired or Middle East settles down." Well, there's always a condition that we place on things that has to happen first. And, you know, everything's already really happened. Anyway, okay. I'll let go. it. Hang on. This new little button, it doesn't seem to want to work very
lovely. Thank you, Carrie. And thank you, everyone. I'm just so thrilled to be here with you, to get to be here with you, to get to wake up with you guys. So thank you for this opportunity, and we will have a close. Thank you, Stephanie, for reading. It was fabulous. You did a great job. And we will close with a song chosen by our very own Lynn Johnson. I love you guys. Love you, love you, love you. Till next time.
Silence, I became my history. They fed me fear and violence. They hooked me up to this reality.